Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from various scriptures in the Bible. Please follow along with the scriptures on the screen. Hear the word of the Lord. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, we all can agree that we live in a culture that is all about money. Having money, getting more money, and keeping more money. In fact, the narrative is that the more money you have, the merrier you will be. Our media and commercials are flooded with ads flaunting the expensive things that we need to have, or the people we need to envy because they have what we don't have. I remember there was one time I was at the gym, and there were a few guys chatting because of the upcoming Christmas holiday. One of the guys was sharing with the other guys as his teenage daughter had given him a Christmas wish list. Well, on the wish list was a gold watch that cost around $330, $550 headphones, and a winter jacket that cost $1,500. My jaw dropped. I mean, this was just a freshman in high school, and it left me thinking, wow, she's starting young. Because our culture says that if you have money and lots of possessions, then you have power, you have value, you have influence, and you will be loved by everyone. And that is why many will spend their time trying to compete with their colleagues or family members and even neighbors to have the best, to have the most, and to be the envy of everyone else. Maybe that is why people will choose to work insane hours at the expense of their health, family, relationships with people, and even their relationship with God in order to get more money. People will even lie to get more money. They will gamble, cheat, or steal. People have betrayed each other, betrayed their countries, and have even murdered others because they think the other person has too much money or they want that money for themselves. Even the music we listen to and the movies that we watch have people doing things to gain more money. And this narrative was all too familiar to me growing up. I grew up in an affluent family when I was in Singapore. We had three houses, multiple cars, expensive dinners with friends, frequent vacations, and even maids. I didn't need to go to an aquarium because in one of the rooms of a house, we had four large 60-gallon fish tanks that had all kinds of tropical fish in them. No need to go to a bird park because right in our backyard, we had a bird cage that was the length of the yard and about 8 feet high, with all the birds in it that you could think of. Cockatoos, exotic singing birds, and even roadrunners. And I was grateful to my parents for wanting to provide a good and comfortable life for myself and my older brother. And when you're a kid, you can just enjoy all of it and you don't think twice about it. But when I came to this country at age 7 and became a teenager, it became very evident to me as to how important money was to us as a family. I remember when it came to deciding which university I wanted to go to and which career to pick, the only two options that I could pick from that would gain my parents' approval was either being a doctor or an engineer. Edwin, you want a career that is going to make you lots of money. I got the A's that I did so I could go to a good school and get a good job that would ultimately help me to get more money. And And there was nothing wrong with getting good grades and getting a job that pays well. But the end goal was always about getting more money, and many times it was at the expense of health, relationships, and even peace. Our motto at home was, work hard now, save money, and then you can rest and enjoy later. But we never rested. And it was hard to enjoy because you always felt like you never arrived financially and always needed more. And this is the thing. We had money, but we always felt that we never had enough of it. Looking back now, I see how money actually controlled my parents. It controlled their decisions and resulted in constant fighting, tension, and strife when it came to anything regarding money. The crazy thing is that from the outside, looking in, we had everything. But yet, behind closed doors, money brought so much conflict and so many problems into our family life. And so you can imagine what my anxiety was like when it came to money, which is also why my focus in my teenage years and into my early 20s was to do everything you can to have money, to get more money, and to keep more money, and to do it at all cost. My life had become all about money. I frequently thought about money, worried about money, and even compromised my values and peace in order to gain more money. I even destroyed friendships because of money. I was worshiping the idol of money for my comfort and my ultimate security. I believed the lie that if I had the house, the possessions, the money, and the money for retirement, then I would be considered valuable and successful. I believed the lie that only if I had that certain amount in my bank account, then I would have made it and would finally be happy. But even when I achieved that, and I achieved that amount or reached the goals that I had financially, it was never enough. And I wanted more. But God started to reveal to me the emptiness of my life when it came to the pursuit of money. It was controlling me, and I was becoming a very different person. A very greedy, selfish, and anxious person. I had money, and I thought money would satisfy me, but it didn't. And I started to realize all this when I was in my late 20s. I was still so young in my faith at the time, and even though I had a relationship with God and He was transforming my life, I personally felt that the area of how I handled money was something that God had no right telling me how to handle what I had. I didn't know that God had so much to say about money, and I didn't know what money was doing to my heart. And if following Jesus meant allowing Him to lead me in all areas of my life and allowing Him to transform such areas that would honor Him, then I needed to learn to have Him lead me in this area of my finances, because this was the area that caused me a lot of anxiety and it was mastering me. So what about you? Where is God when it comes to how you spend the money that you have? You know, we're starting a new sermon series called True Riches. What Jesus really said about money and our heart. Inspired by the book True Riches by John Cortinez and Greg Balmer. Because how we think about and even use money will not only shape our lives and eternity, but also our character. In fact, how we handle money will either make us more like our Heavenly Father, where we're generous, full of joy, contentment, purpose, and freedom, or it can drive us away from God, making us very much unlike Him. And our hope throughout this series is that we all will experience God in a much more intimate way as we allow God into the area of how we handle our finances, because He knows best And his ways are always the best ways. Scripture says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." Now, I want to get it clear that money in itself is not evil. However, it is the love of money that's evil and can make us do evil things. Money can be used to purchase comforts that only benefit us. It can be used to bribe others, to cheat, to purchase things like sex and drugs. Money can be used to contribute to trafficking, terrorism, and even to murder or to cover things up. So money's not evil, but the ways that people can choose to use money can be evil. That is why, on the flip side, if a person uses money to help someone in need or uses it for something honorable, it's not the money that is good, but how the person chose to use money that is good. See, money is neutral, but it is the people behind the use of the money that determine whether money is used for evil or used for good. And knowing this, that is why God talks a lot about money in Scripture. Not because he cares about money, but because he cares about us. Because the way we use our money can actually reveal a lot of things about us, like what our priorities are, and even reflect the real condition of our hearts. And that is why many of Jesus' teachings related back to money, and all throughout Scripture, we find approximately 2,350 verses that talk about money, possessions, and our attitude towards such things. Because how we spend money reveals what is really going on in our heart. Because our heart always follows our money. If we want to know what is going on in our heart and what our priorities are, I mean, just look at our bank statements and see what we spend our money on. For example, if we buy stocks in a certain company, then we will care and even worry about what that company does. Why? Well, because our heart always follows where our money goes. If we spend money on scratch tickets or sports gambling, our heart will follow what the lottery is doing and even what the latest sports scores are. Spend money on a house or a car, and our heart will follow everything that needs to be done in order to maintain that house or that car. Spend money on a particular hobby, and our heart will be all about that hobby. And the same is true when it comes to God. If we invest in the purposes of God, our heart will follow the purposes of God, because our heart will always follow our money. That's why Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." See, our heart and money are attached because there is a relationship between our spiritual condition and how we view and use money and possessions. And Jesus knew how easy it was for us to love money, and he knew that it can even get to the point where money can master us, corrupt us, and strangle our souls, because our heart will always follow our money. And how we handle money is an indication as to our spiritual maturity, and it reveals who is really the God of our life. Many people think that faith and finances need to be separated, but God saw both things as inseparable. And because this topic of money is not frequently talked about in churches, a majority of people who identify as Christians have a very unhealthy understanding of their relationship between God and money. In fact, many Christians will say that they follow Jesus, but their money doesn't follow Jesus. But the bigger question we all need to ask ourselves is this: how are the ways I am using my finances shaping my heart? Is the money that I have making me into a more joyful and grateful person? Am I someone who is content with what I have? Is how I am using my finances causing me to trust God more and love others more? Is how I'm using my finances making me more aware of the needs around me and thus making me more generous with what I have? Am I open-handed with what I have? And am I more Christ-like when I think about money? Or is the money that I have and the ways that I use it causing me to covet and envy what others have, thus making me even more discontent? Is it causing me to be selfish as I think about my needs and my wants? Is it causing me to be anxious as I strive to get more because I don't think that I have enough? Is it causing me to lie and to keep secrets because I'm spending on things that I know are not good for me? Is the way I spend money making me more self-sufficient and prideful as I look down on others who have less? Is what I am spending money on contributing to any injustice and exploitation of others? See, Jesus never told people to use their money in order to gain lots and lots of wealth. Instead, he encourages his followers, you and me, to put him first in all areas of our life, including our finances, as he shapes and transforms our character. As a result, this transformation impacts our heart and the way that we use our money, and how we use our money starts to look more like him. In scripture, we see how money has been used by people in both good and bad ways, and the impact on the person using it and even those around them. Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, was someone that spent his whole life exploiting and taking advantage of others for more money. He was corrupt and selfish and was one of the most hated men in the region. But when he meets Jesus, Zacchaeus exclaimed, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." When Zacchaeus meets Jesus, his heart is changed. And as a result, Zacchaeus' approach to money changed as well, which caused Jesus to say, "Today, salvation has come to this house." In the book of Acts, we read about the early church and how when God encountered these people's lives, they became transformed and strived to have lives that reflected his love and his generosity to those around them. Scripture says, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. But in scripture, we also see people who were controlled by money and faced the consequences of their greed. Jesus encountered a rich young man who wanted to follow him and gain eternal life. But when Jesus told him to give all of his possessions to the poor and then to come and follow him, he couldn't. See, Jesus wasn't just telling him that everyone needs to sell all their possessions in order to follow him. But Jesus knew that with this particular man, money had a hold on him and money was his God and idol. Scripture says, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. The rich young man couldn't bear the thought of giving away all his possessions and wealth in order to put God first. And as a result, he ended up walking away sad as he missed out on all that God had to offer him. Jesus spoke of another rich man who spent his entire life gaining wealth for himself so that he could retire and live free and easy. But yet, Jesus called this man a fool because he had spent his whole life being rich towards himself and not rich towards God. And now his life would be taken away from him. In the early church, we read about Ananias and Sapphira who lied about what they were giving to God in order to look generous in front of the others at church. And as a result, it cost them their lives. And why is it important to look at different lives of people found in Scripture when it comes to money? Because how we use money shapes our heart. How we use money reveals where God is in our life and whether we are like him or unlike him. And I even want to give out a caution to those of you who are thinking, you know, I've been responsible with money. I live on a budget. I have no debt. I live within my means, and I have even been consistently saving for retirement. In fact, Edwin, I even tithe my 10% every month. But did you know that we can do all those things and still not allow God access to what we do with the rest of what we have? It is almost like saying, God, I've given you your portion and done my duty when it comes to money. So now the rest is my portion to spend however I want. But this is the thing. All that we have is his portion. God is the owner of all things, even the things that we have. In fact, we are simply his stewards. And a steward is someone that an owner entrusts with the management of their possessions, meaning we're a steward of all that God has given to us. And how do we know that we are not owners? Well, when we die, we don't take our money or our house or our nice iPhone with us. It all goes to someone else in order to be managed. But many of us live and make decisions with our money like we own it. All while the real owner, meaning God, has no say in any of our daily money transactions. And as a result, we get caught up in the hooks of our culture's posture towards money and what success looks like. But this posture always leads us away from God and leads us towards more pride, more envy, more anxiety, and more apathy with the money that we have. And it is so deceiving because according to the culture's standards, we may be rich monetarily with the house, the car, the electronics, the nice bank account. We may get the compliments and the likes on social media with the clothes and the stuff that we have. But the way God sees it, many of us are actually very spiritually poor. That is why the daily question we all need to ask ourselves is this: how are the ways I am using my finances shaping my heart, shaping me towards the character of God or towards the opposite? Jesus warned us saying this, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Because greed brings out two reactions in us. It makes us possessive, whereby we become selfish and hold on to tightly what we have and are not willing to share it. And it also makes us envious as we are now thinking of all the things that we don't have, but that we want. So instead of putting our hope in God, we end up putting our hope in our money, house, IRA, electronics, cars, vacations, and even our stuff. And Jesus knew how easy it was for us to love money as it takes our hearts away from him. as we look to money to be our savior. Scripture says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Here Paul, a follower of Jesus, is talking about the desire to always want to be rich and to always want more than what is needed. This desire for more money and even possessions can come at the expense of our morals, our families, our friends, our relationships, our physical and mental health, and even our relationship with God. Again, working hard, making money, and investing are not bad things as long as our motives are right. But like Paul says, we can all easily cross a fine line where we fall into the temptation for more money, which leads to our destruction. Instead of finding fulfillment and identity in God, we look to find fulfillment and identity in our money and in our stuff. Paul continues saying, some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. See, many people would do many things to get more money. Sometimes it can be doing illegal things, but many times it can even be doing noble things like providing for your family or leaving them with a material inheritance. And no one can argue that these are not great things to do. But the unfortunate thing is that for many people, providing financially for our kids or family becomes our God. We can get so focused and fixated on this financial priority and building a financial legacy that we neglect seeking God and teaching our children and family to seek God, leaving them with a spiritual legacy which actually lasts forever, shapes their character, and guides them during this time on earth. We end up getting so worried about the future that instead of being grateful with what God has provided, we end up continually striving for more and more. How many of us know of people who are materially rich, but yet spiritually poor? That is the whole point. It's a slippery slope. Because if our priorities are in the wrong place, then our life can become dedicated to the wrong things while God gets pushed aside and even ignored. A father dying on his deathbed can say, hey, look at all the money and possessions I have left for you, which is great. But if that man and his family didn't know God or not following God, then the reality is that this man was following the wrong priorities and was setting the tone for his family as to who the real God of their family is, which is money and stuff. His life desire for earthly riches blinded him from the eternal riches that God had for him and his family. Money can make us do some crazy things, and people would neglect God in order to gain more money. No time for church or spiritual community because they're always too busy working. No daily time with God because they need to get more money in order to accomplish their goals. I'm not talking about people who are working long hours in order to make ends meet and provide for basic necessities like food and shelter for their family. Rather, I'm talking about those who use their money to live way beyond their means, thus resulting in them having to work and gain more money in order to maintain their current lifestyle and comforts. And because they are doing so much to gain the life that they want, these same people often find their riches increasing, but so is their stress, anxiety, arguments, and isolation, as they end up having many sorrows. This becomes the reality of those who live a life of pursuing the love of money. So how are the ways I am using my finances shaping my heart? I had mentioned a story earlier that in my late 20s, I started to realize that the way I was dealing with money, God had no say in it whatsoever. At the time, as a side hobby, I became a stocks and options trader. It was a way that I could easily make lots of money without putting in the hours. And I did it to make some extra money and even save for retirement. All good things that we should be responsible for saving up for. But if I was honest, in doing this, the love of money started to take hold of me. In my mind, I told myself that I was simply investing financially in my future. But the reality was that the way that I was using the money that I gained was actually starting to shape my heart, and not in a good way. How was money shaping my heart? Well, the more money I made, the more anxious I became trying to find ways to keep that money. And when I lost money, I was so stressed that I ended up putting down more money to make up for what I lost. My hope in investing for the future had become a gambling addiction for me. Every morning, I would wake up, and the first thing I would do was not spend time with God, but instead I would go to the computer when the markets open, and I would spend hours checking on where all my different stocks were going based on what was happening in the news cycle. Then, when I profited from my trades, I was happy and easily became prideful and arrogant. But when I lost money, I was devastated, and it affected my mood for days. In no time, money had taken a hold of me as it controlled and mastered me. I remember there was one time I was in a class and the stocks that I had invested in were going down and I was losing money. Instead of being present and paying attention to the content of the class, which is what I was supposed to do, my friend sitting next to me could visibly see me getting angrier and angrier. On my good days, when I made money, I wasn't at all dreaming about how I could use the money that I had to help people in need or further God's kingdom, because I was too busy thinking about building my own kingdom and all I would do with all that I made. The vacations I would take, the property I would purchase, the clothes that I could wear. How was money shaping my heart? If I had a bad day financially, I would be distracted for the whole day as I internally condemned myself as a failure. I was no fun to be around, and the more I made, the more tight-fisted I was with the money I was making. I was more controlling, and making money fed my greed for making more money. So how was money shaping my heart? I was trusting myself to care for myself and my future instead of trusting God to care for me. I was looking to money to be my savior. Yes, I believed in God, but I wasn't allowing him any access or say when it came to my handling of finances because I wanted to have my plans and my comforts. I wasn't loving God because I was too busy loving money. I was not trusting him at all in this area of my life. And even though I had money, I was stressed, anxious, and I had no rest of mind and body, and I didn't like who I was becoming. Crazy, right? Because we would think that if we have money, we would be happy and content. But the more I had, the more discontent, selfish, and greedy I became. What was money doing to my heart? It was mastering me, and money had become my idol god that I looked to in order to save me, in order to give me my identity and my significance. And my wake-up call was when one day I made a trade because of all I saw that I would make from the trade, and I lost it all. My eagerness for money caused me to wander from God, and as a result, it caused me much grief. And that was when I turned to God because my pride was shattered, and I said to him, the simple act of trading stocks and options has become a gambling addiction for me. I can't do this anymore. I don't like who I'm becoming. I need you, God, to lead me in this area because my money is mastering and controlling me. But it wasn't just admitting to God what I did that was wrong, but also repenting for the fact that I was looking to money to save me because I was looking to it for my identity. That if I had it and lots of it, then I would have arrived. Then I would be significant. Then I would be good. But God was changing my heart to see that I needed to love him more than this idol. Because it is only when that happens, when we love God more than anything else, that he now takes proper place in the center of our hearts and the money God gets overthrown. That was the turning point that changed my heart towards God, the one that would guide me and help me to use the money that I had to honor him with it. And why do I share such stories with you? So that every Sunday, you can see that we are all in this together and that no one of us is immune to sin and that we all need him in our life. I share such stories with you so you can see what the power of God can do to transform someone like me, who was very much unlike God, into looking more like Jesus every day. And I share such stories with you so you can experience God's grace, love, mercy, and transformation for yourselves as well. This is why the question we want to kick off this series and a year with is this: how are the ways I am using my finances shaping my heart? Because our money is either drawing us into Christ's likeness or it's not. Our money is either causing us to be prideful, envious, anxious, and apathetic, or it is causing us to be grateful, content, generous, loving, and more trusting of God. The invitation is for us to include Jesus into our financial journey, because if he has a say in what we do and with what we have been entrusted with by God, it will make all the difference in our lives and in the lives of those around us here on earth and into eternity. When God is included and has influence with our finances, the result is a life that is content and rich within. And our hope is that if we can all wrestle with what God has to say about the way we use money over the next few weeks, we will be able to leave behind false riches and start acquiring true riches. Let me pray for us. God, you are the owner of us and even all that we possess. And so forgive us when we think otherwise and when we use what you have entrusted to us only for our own comforts and our own benefits instead of seeing what we have in light of you and eternity. May we examine how money is shaping our hearts and even our character. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and hope. You want to experience his mercy and forgiveness for your sins. Wonder that God loves you so much that he came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive you for your sins and to create an avenue so you can have a real relationship with him now and for all eternity. He lived a perfect life. And then he chose to die for your sins so that you can have forgiveness and new life in him. And not only did he die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the whole world that he wasn't just a man, but the God who came to save us. And if that is what you want, I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you to be the person that you are meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision, and we would love to get to know you better and even give you some resources to help you to grow in our relationship with God. Now, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.